Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening. I'm glad to be with you again tonight on this terrific Thursday evening. Tonight's topic is going to be vaccination detox. Last night we talked about vaccinating your dog, the pros and cons of vaccinating your dog. And the premise came up about the possibility of over-vaccination. And we know that there's a lot of heavy metals in some of the vaccinations. And we know that many vets recommend and practice an over-vaccination policy. And there are some states that have laws that mandate vaccinating your dog and your service dog. So having said that, there may be some of you who said, okay, now you told us how bad it could be and how dangerous it could be for my dog. Is there a way that I can detox my dog after vaccination? Because a lot of times we get these dogs, they've already been vaccinated and over-vaccinated. And so, is there a way to detox your dog? Well, there are studies out that would like to imply, yes, there are. So tonight, we're going to look at some of that information, and depending on time, we may get into some specific ways to detox. And if we don't get to cover that tonight, then we will, in fact, cover that tomorrow night, specific ways on detoxing your dog. So this is Doc Finsel with All About Service Dogs, and we're here for you tonight. And we say call a friend. Let a friend know that we're here, and let a friend know, maybe on your pages or whatnot, that we are here to indeed be a voice for you and to you, so that maybe we might be able to motivate you to do a little study and come up with some of this information. Once you hear about it on the show, then maybe you'll take some of that and go back, do your own information, do your own study, do your own research, and come up with what is best for your dog. Tonight, my comments are strictly mine and my own, and I am not speaking from the position of a veterinarian. Now, I will quote veterinarians, and I will quote this article, but my comments are just strictly mine, just another person out here who's done some research and encouraging you to do some research for the greater health of your dog. So if we're all together now, and we've given enough time for people to get to the broadcast, then let's jump into this. You might have seen this article, and you might want to look at it and see it again. This article came out in December 2013, and it is by Will Falconer, and he's a doctor of veterinary medicine. So you can look him up and you can look up this article if you like, and you can get this information. Let me begin to share. I was inspired by a Facebook post that I was recently tagged in. A friend is being forced to take an MMR vaccine at work. What can he do in order to detox from it? He'll lose his hospital job if he does not take it. Suggestions? Well, first, being forced To take a vaccination is just plain wrong by any institution anywhere. But that's the subject of a very different blog post under the heading of Basic Human Rights. More significant for now is the word detox. It's a common idea. Vaccines have mercury and heavy metals in them quite often. And if we could just detoxify the body receiving the vaccination, that body would be restored to normal. That's a premise. Nothing could be further from the truth. Something far more insidious happens when we subject someone, be they a person, dog, cat, horse, ferret, whatever the species, to a vaccine jab. We are setting up a state of chronic disease, often a close variation of the disease we are hoping to avoid in the patient who gets vaccinated. The chronic disease can last for years, if not life, and can set up the animal or person for a life of misery, forced to respond to this new disease. The overall term for this disease is vaccinosis, and it can take many forms. Okay, well, that lays out the premise that this writer, this veterinarian, is going on. And basically, I'm right with him there. The research shows that there's a lot of harmful stuff in these vaccinations to make them worthwhile. And we need to see what we can do to keep ourselves from getting sick from taking the vaccinations. Now, this happens in humans, and like the writer said, it happens in animals as well. And our service dog is our responsibility, so we need to be on the lookout for this over-vaccination and to see if we can do anything to mitigate the harm done by this vaccination. History speaks loudly. Interestingly, this disease was recognized long before heavy metals were used in vaccines. The term goes back to one Dr. J. Compton Burnett, a British physician who was a critical observer of illness. Practicing medicine in Britain in the late 1800s, his book, Vaccinosis and Its Cure by Thuja, was published in 1884. It's a very small but potent book that can be found on Amazon. Well worth your time and the few bucks it costs. So a long time ago, this vaccine was put in question. And here we go. In his book, Dr. Burnett wrote about his patients who were made ill, often extremely ill, after they received vaccination for smallpox. The first vaccine widely used in the world, again, no heavy metals were in it. His many cases include a dying baby whose wet nurse was recently vaccinated, not the baby, skin eruptions, neuralgia, her pain was in the back of her eyes, of 20 years duration. Who came to him in utter despair? Chronic headache of 9 years duration, chronic colds and headaches of 3 months duration, spinal pain, bent forward, could scarcely walk, and chronic ringworm, whose cure was barred by vaccinosis. The writer goes on to say, a quote from Dr. Whitecoat, "My patients don't get sick after vaccination." An interesting side point Dr. Burnett observed was this. the vaccinated patients who were most ill were the ones that didn't take. In those days, cowpox vaccine was given by injection, and it was considered successful when an eruption of pustules was the outcome. The understanding was these folks would be immune to smallpox, a close relative of cowpox. Those who were so vaccinated but failed to make the pustules were deemed to be non-responders who didn't take, i.e., mount a reaction to the injection foreign material, i.e., mount a reaction to the injected foreign material. Oh, really? How long did you watch? Now think for a moment. How many animals get vaccinated and show no illness whatsoever immediately afterwards? No fever, no loss of appetite, no skin itch, no odd behavior. But then, a few weeks to a month later, they start to itch or convulse or have ear infection, aggression, ADD, etc. I think this is the norm. And why short-sighted views on vaccination deem it safe? When illness follows, it's often long enough after the vaccination that the event is forgotten or negated as being positive. Until the questions are directed to, when did this illness begin? A British vet discovered by asking this very question of his clients that 75% of his respondents answered that their dogs started itching about a month after their vaccine. Dr. Richard Pickering, the vet who taught many of us homeopathy, wrote about the relationship between vaccination and the chronic disease it induces. Here, in a paper presented at the AHVMA conference in 1993. It's a remarkable treatise on how dogs vaccinated against distemper or rabies often develop chronic symptoms of either or both diseases. Now, in the article, there's a chart, and I'm not going to go through the chart, but I'll pick a few out of the chart, and you could, you know, read the article for yourself if you want. It's at vitalanimal.com. So, here's a chart showing the natural symptoms of canine distemper compared to what we commonly see as symptoms in chronically ill dogs. Watery discharge of eyes and nose, clinical condition, tendency for water fluid to drip from the nose. Conjunctivitis, chronic conjunctivitis, eye discharge, entropion, vomiting, diarrhea, and loss of appetite, chronic gastritis, hepatitis, pancreatitis, appetite disorders. These are just a few from that chart. Now, here's a chart comparing the symptoms of rabies to the common behaviors we see in dogs who are chronically unwell. First, the natural rabies symptoms, and then following clinical conditions after vaccination. Restlessness, uneasiness, apprehensiveness, and developing viciousness most apt to be manifested towards strangers. Clinical condition after vaccination, restless nature, suspicious of others, and unfriendly to other dogs, vicious to other animals, and desire to kill, aggression and mistrust of strangers, especially people in uniform. Dogs, normally affectionate, may hide away and shun company. Changes of behavior to aloofness from affectionate to not affectionate. Dogs, normally independent, may become unnaturally attentive or affectionate. Clingy behavior, fear to be left alone, follows client from room to room, wants physical contact. And that list goes on and on. Cats vaccinated against feline distemper develop similar chronic disease to what a prolonged case of pan leukemia would look like if it were stretched out into a chronic form. That chart is in the paper referenced above. So you can check that out. You can take a look. And as you do your own research, you can see what was found and draw your own conclusion. So, should you detox that vaccine then? Detoxing heavy metals post-vaccination may help, but you can surmise it won't help to a great extent, as vaccinosis is clearly much deeper than intoxication. Nor will vaccinosis be addressed by any type of bodily cleanse. It's an energetic disturbance. While Dr. Burnett found Thuja to be extremely helpful in vaccinated patients, Thuja is most likely, like most of the homeopathy, rarely a one-size-fits-all remedy. We have a group of remedies known as vaccinosis, including silica, sulfur, mesurium, aphis, sarsaparilla, etc. Curing the vaccinosis state, like curing any chronic disease state, takes careful recognition of the patient's symptoms, indicating how he is not well, and matching that ill state to a remedy capable of causing such a state, if it were taken in crude doses repeatedly. Those who've recently completed my homeopathy study course, first aid, will recognize this language from the live question and answer we had, now on audio files for your review when you sign up for the course, and you still can take his course. Care to avoid the ER? We don't look for a parvo remedy. We look for a remedy that matches the state of illness your animal is portraying by observing his symptoms. So, what can you do for your already vaccinated animal? The best idea is to get on board with a veterinary homeopath of your choosing and get the chronic illness cured once and for all. It'll be a process, but a very rewarding one. Here's an example from this week's case. Loma, a 3-year-old shepherd pit bull cross, came up from Houston and was immediately noted to have a very coarse coat, as well as a history of urinary tract diseases and a profound dislike of getting wet. Her guardian's words the day after I treated her: Loma's coat is soft, literally overnight, and she is peeing no problem. Taking her off the herbs so that we see the real scoop. I did a few double takes, feels of her coat, and it is just rich and soft. How in the world did one dose of Thuja affect her coat in hours? Does that indicate other than the right remedy? Is her vice palate coming up that fast? Yes, and it indicates that a significant part of Loma's illness was due to being vaccinated. How many times has she been vaccinated? Twice in her life. Next, with your homeopath's help, get off the vaccination merry-go-round. Once and done is the way to go. Not repeating those shots annually or every 3 years, which clearly does not even work. It'll also help to boost your vaccinated animal community. It's the immune systems that usually at the heart of vaccinosis. Allergies, ear infections, hypothyroidism, tumors, these all reflect immune problems. Search this site in the box at the bottom of any page for the word vaccination so you can really be a wise consumer and prevent vaccinosis as much as possible. And learn from Loma's case. It doesn't take a lot of vaccinations to get unwell. Dr. Burnett saw this too. One or two vaccines could undo a patient's health for a very long time. Now that was a big mouthful, and we're going to let that soak in for a little bit. Now again, these words were taken from an article written by a doctor of veterinary science, veterinary medicine. This is according to his research, and my research just found him. So his name is Will Falconer, Falcon and ER on the end of it, and he's a doctor of veterinary medicine. So I want to encourage you to check that out, check that article out, and weigh it for what it's worth, and see what you can come up with. Now, we love sharing information with you. We love being your eyes and ears. And, you know, pointing you towards research. Now, the whole idea is not to do the research for you, but to share enough of the research with you to get you excited about going and doing some research for yourself. Because your dog is your responsibility, your health is your responsibility, and the two together makes for a nice, healthy relationship team of responsible team members working together. So look into this vaccination thing and look into homeopathy and see how East can meet West and how complementary medicine can go alongside of Western medicine and see how you can stay within the law and do better for your service dog. The whole purpose of our show is to help us have better relationships, longer relationships, get more out of our service dog, live a longer, healthier life, and get more out of the dog in terms of work, in terms of service. A lot of our dogs are being put out of service too soon, and that means there's that much money we have to put into training another one earlier. And if we can get longer service lives out of our dogs, then we could save money in the long run. And for a lot of people, that is a big issue and very important. So tomorrow, we are definitely going to hit 15 steps to detox your pet. And this information, again, is information pulled out of research. And, you know, if you've already got your pet, it's already vaccinated, and you feel like you want to explore this whole detox thing, well, we're going to help you with that. And we're going to help you with the detoxing of your service dog tomorrow. So definitely, definitely look forward to being with you tomorrow and to sharing these 15 steps with you so that you can save money, increase the health of your dog, increase the usefulness and longevity of the life of your dog. That, I think, is going to be a very well, very good use of your time. So, I want to thank you for being with us today. Thanks for dropping by. Thanks for liking my articles and my announcements. Thanks for following on Blog Talk Radio. If you follow, that helps us know that you're there, you're listening, you are coming back for more shows, you are interested in notices of more shows. And if you like this show, all about service dogs, and you're following our show, they know they can suggest other service dogs or dog shows to you, and you might be interested in them as well. So we appreciate you, and I just want to encourage you to go out and love on somebody. Don't be cramped up in the house. Get out there, live this life, enjoy doing the things that you can do, and let your service dog do the things that it can do and help you do the things that you can't do. And so it's all good, and we have a whole big old world out here to enjoy. So get out and enjoy it. Get yourself some sunshine. Not too much because you don't want to burn, but it's really, really good for you to get that vitamin D. And join us again tomorrow. And we'll be happy to have you in on the show. Or you have somebody who you'd like to hear on our show that's in the service dog community. Please, please, please drop us a line and let us know. So here for us here at All About Service Dogs, this is Doc Vinsel saying so long. God bless and be good to yourself.